Okay. Woohoo! Welcome everyone to the chapel. Welcome to anybody who's our friends watching us online. We're honored to have you. I'm Pastor Bill. I haven't had a chance to say hi to everybody, but thanks for coming. We're delighted for you to be here. So this is Community Service Sunday, and if you didn't know it, that's fine, but church is pretty short. And so we have worship for about a half an hour. We eat lunch. We're having chili. And our friends from Christ Lincoln are doing chili. And then for those who can stay, we're going to the People City Mission and working at their distribution center. So that's kind of where we're headed. We'll probably be out of here by 11:30. So, but if you didn't plan on working, that's fine. We still want you to stay for lunch. So a couple announcements. I already mentioned that we're having lunch and a Christ Lutheran. The ski trip, yes. Derek Brockhaus is joining our ski trip as of today. I got him to do this. It's January 5th through the 8th. It's $280. And actually, we have like six spots left. So please let me know. If you live in western Nebraska, we will pick you up on the highway, like literally, like on the road. So please let us know. We'll do that. Next Sunday is a Christmas hymn service. It's here at 10:30. It's Christmas singing. So if you don't like Christmas songs, don't come, because it's Christmas songs, so we're going to be singing and listening to Isaiah, the prophet, okay? If you need to ride to the airport, Lincoln Airport or Omaha Airport, let me know. I would love to spend an hour with you taking you to the airport, so please let me know. Is that it? Okay, great. So we begin in the name of our God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the verse today, so we're in a series called Be Invisible, and there's characters in the Bible who have names, but we don't really know who these people are, so I'm picking a guy today, and it ends in a bar fight, okay? There's a bar fight in this scene. So I want you to stand up very briefly, because we only got 30 minutes to do church. When have you been in a legitimate fight, okay? And how did it go? So introduce somebody near you. When have you been in a legitimate fight, and how did it go? You have 30 seconds to introduce your name. Let's stay standing. So I think I was in high school, and I don't know my brother. I don't think my brother watches these things, but I was in high school. It was the kitchen. My brother went after me. He's much bigger than me. He beat the snot out of me. And I learned from that moment on, if I'm going to make fun of my brother, do it outside, because I was quicker than him, but he was definitely stronger. So anyway, we're going to look at this scene of the Bible and kind of learn from it. So, okay, let's join together in a creed. These are biblical creeds that the early church would have memorized. And so let's say it together. It's Philippians chapter 2. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thank you.
be seated. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we sing about joy, and joy is so much more powerful than positive experiences and optimistic outlooks. Joy is rugged, it's durable, it can take a beating, and it doesn't change because you don't change. Lord, you are our joy. Our joy is not in our ability or our future or our little empires that we build. Our joy is in your unfailing devotion to us and your commitment to us. And we live in a world that is so fragile, and we're so fragile, and there's so many things that we depend on that we really can't depend on. But the one thing we always go back to, Lord Jesus, is your commitment to us and your love for us. And we know that to be perfectly accomplished on the cross. And so, today, Lord, despite any feelings, despite rosy outlooks, or just being overwhelmed and just sad, we declare over ourselves joy, because you, Lord Jesus, are the source of our joy. And we pray that in your holy name, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. So, like I said, we're in a little teaching series called Be Forgettable, and I just picked people in the Bible that we don't normally think about, we don't remember. Anybody know the name Sosthenes? Anybody know that name? Okay, here's a story about Sosthenes. So, it's Corinth, and Paul has been in this metropolitan city, this Greek city, for quite a while, and we're going to pick up the story, and there's a bar fight at the end. And there's three reasons why the hatred and the animosity is built up to lead to this bar fight. And so it's in Acts chapter 18, and here we go, verse 4. Every Sabbath, Paul reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, that's not the bar fight, he shook out his clothes in protests and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." So here's the first kind of like poke in the eye. You know, you need to know that when somebody in that culture would shake the dust off of their clothing, that was a very kind of abrasive way of saying, "I'm totally done with you. Yeah, I mean, I don't even want any of your dust to be on me." It's kind of like the guy whose girlfriend breaks up with him, and you know, she comes over with the box of his stuff that he left over at her apartment or whatever. But it's not just the box of his stuff. It's like everything that he touched, she doesn't want anything to do with him to that extent, okay? So Paul is saying this is like an edgy, totally edgy, "I'm done with you." And they would kind of be, you know, they're judgmental. They'd be like, no, we get to do that to you. You can't do that to us. So that's the first poke in the eye. Verse 7, then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius, Justice, a worship of God. Think about it. He goes from spending time out in the synagogue, he gets, you know, leaves there, and he goes right next door. Right next door. It's kind of funny, isn't it? He goes right next door to the synagogue. It's kind of like, you know, these people would be like in the synagogue thinking, "Where's that singing coming from?" "Oh, it's Titius's house. It's right next door." And then Paul's preaching, you know, and he gets into it. The volume gets cranked up, and the people in the synagogue are like hearing Paul preach. They don't want to hear Paul preach, but it's right next door. This is like, again, here I'll use this. So this is like your girlfriend breaks up with you. She brings over the box of your stuff and everything you've ever touched, and she says, "I'm done with you." But then your roommate starts dating your ex-girlfriend, and she's over studying in your apartment night after night, and you go to your roommate and it's like, "Dude, come on. Do you have to be like all snuggly on the couch night after night?" So this is like a major poke in the eye that Paul goes right next door and starts building his followers in Jesus. I just think that's really hilarious. Okay, verse 8. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believe in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. The third poke in the eye. The synagogue leader becomes a follower of Jesus. You know, think about that. The leader of their church, the guy who has the moral clout of that community, he becomes a follower of Jesus. And where's this guy Crispus? Oh, he's next door. He's next door following those guys. Okay? Third poke in the eye. So you can see why there's a bit of tension here, right? All right, here we go. One night, verse 9, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in the city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, okay, teaching them the good word. So now 18 months of Paul's ministry, more and more people are following Jesus. This is no longer just an underground hidden thing. I think this is a movement. This is a movement of God in the city. All right, verse 12. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, so he's the leader. He's the Roman official leader guy. The Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. So there's going to be a trial. There's going to be a prosecuting attorney. There's going to be a clear plan of attack. And in these moments, the enemy, the Jews, are looking to have Paul assassinated because only the Romans can commit capital punishment, or at least have the Romans beat the snot out of the guy, or have him throw him in prison. But something, okay, something. They need to take care of this problem, named Paul. Verse 13. Here's their legal charge against Paul. Verse 13. This man, Paul, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, if you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things. So he drove them off. Okay? So they have this plan, but before this whole plan of getting Paul into trouble gets even started, Gallio says, no, I'm not even going to deal with this. And so verse 17, here's the bar fight. Then the crowd turned, they turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue leader at that time, and beat him in front of the proconsul. And Galilee showed no concern whatsoever. So all of their bitterness and their hatred towards Paul gets directed towards Sosthenes, and they beat the living snot out of this guy. Okay, think about that. Think about that. And then verse 18 says, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. So here you have these, Sosthenes guys. Imagine what it's like for the Apostle Paul. He's in the grocery store. He's at Hy-Vee, and he's going down the frozen food line, and there's Sosthenes. He's like, oh, what would that be like for him? To like, oop, Sosthenes, I got to go this way because he's over there. What about you? Think about this. What would it be like for you to have a Sosthenes in your life? We all have people that don't like us. Maybe there's people around us that we know they don't really want to be around us. But Sosthenes is he's a person who has looked to do you in. He's lied about you. He's gotten your friends, your family, and the place where you live, work, and play, your community, against you. He not only hates you as a person, but he hates what you believe. I mean, this is like an enemy with a capital E. I personally can't think of anybody in my life who's hated me that much. But imagine the hostility between Paul and Sosthenes. Imagine that, okay? Think about the people in your own life that are difficult for you to like. Or think about the people in your own life that you've hurt. Okay, now here's the big kicker. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes. Okay? To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours. Now, okay, the text doesn't actually tell us that this Sosthenes is the same Sosthenes as Acts 17. Doesn't say that. But they're both in Corinth, and they both had access to Paul. It's a very good chance that this guy is no longer an enemy of Paul. This guy is now a brother in Christ with Paul. Think about that. Think about that. Think about the life change that had to happen in Sosthenes' heart. It just speaks to the power of the Holy Spirit to take things that are just absolutely screwed up, messed up, broken up, and bringing about these relationships that none of us would ever see this happening. None of us would ever see this happening. It speaks to the power of the gospel, the power of the forgiveness. Think about this. The power of the gospel in Paul's life, the power of the gospel in Sosthenes' life. So I imagine if we go back to the Acts 17 and Sosthenes is getting beaten up, it's a very good chance that Paul is actually still in the room maybe, okay? So Paul is watching this guy, his enemy, get beaten up. And maybe at that moment there's something that snaps in Paul, because Paul has been beaten up numerous times. And Paul looks at this guy getting beaten up and like he has this kindness, this sympathy, this identity that he has with him. And so maybe I'm making all of this up, but maybe down the road, a couple days later, Paul's like, I know what it's like to be Sosthenes. And Paul brings himself back to when he got beaten up. And after that, as he's recovering from all the bruises, Paul, man, if I had a warm blanket, man, and if I had a cup of soup, and maybe Paul comes to Sosthenes later on with a warm blanket and a cup of soup and says, you know, here, you know, we don't know any of this. I'm making all of this up. But imagine for Sosthenes, he's the leader of the synagogue. So he's the big guy. He's the moral leader. He's the religious expert. People would greet him in the marketplace and say, oh, you're an awesome dude, awesome dude. He's got a great job. He's got financial security. And now none of that. Now he's got none of that. And for the first time maybe in his life, he's like, I have no plan B in my life. What do I do? And so God's brought him to a deep place of humility. And somehow, some way, God uses that and the kindness of Paul. The Holy Spirit has this miraculous behind the scenes working. But at some point, these two dudes get together. And maybe Paul just says, when I watched you get beat up, it reminded me of Jesus and how Jesus got beat up on the cross. He died for me. And I know that he gave his life for me, paid for my sin and all the times when I'm just broken and messed up. And that's why I'm a follower of Jesus. And Sosthenes says, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. Because Sosthenes doesn't have anything else to back himself up on. And he goes to Jesus. And Jesus goes to him. The power of this moment. Because Paul shook his dust off of him. He's like, I'm done with you guys. I'm done with you, Sosthenes. But Jesus was not. Jesus was not done with Sosthenes. Jesus went after Sosthenes. Isn't that just a great story for your own life? Isn't that just a great story? Because I think we're all, you know, I mean, we are all Sosthenes. When it comes to our relationship to a holy and righteous God, we've all a broken mess. We're all covered in our own sin. We're all, the Bible tells us, that we're not neutral. We're actually enemies of God. And the joy of Christ, knowing even that we're enemies, decided to die for us. And maybe that's what broke open Sosthenes' heart, realizing that Jesus would go after him too, even after all that he's done. Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to leave this with you. I just want you to leave you with this grand story of the incredible work of the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel, the power of Jesus in somebody's life. And just, if there's someone in your life who is a Sosthenes and you have written them off, Jesus has not. And maybe what is your next step? What is your next step? So we have these little cards, and we call them setting aside. And it's our offering, and it's more than just our tithe. But you can fill it out. If you're new here and you want me to have your email and phone number, you fill that little section out. But on the other sides that are meant to be spread apart, you write on them. You can write the same thing. And here's the question. Who is your Sosthenes? Do you have a person in your life that you have written off? I want this sermon this morning to have like legs throughout your week. Have you written somebody off? Who is your Sosthenes? Or maybe, who have you hurt? Who have you hurt? And how do you need the power of God, the power of Christ, to work in this relationship, to bring about something you can't even see, all right? So what you do is you write it out on both sides. You put one in the offering plate, the other one in your right, in your wallet or your purse, to remind you. It's like, all right, Lord, help me to not give up on this person. Or whatever that next step is, let the Holy Spirit guide you, okay? So that's our setting aside. We'll take a few moments to do that, and then we'll close our time off together in prayer, right? Lord Jesus, we ask that you bless this offering and help it to be so much more than just our intentions, so much more than letters on paper. But we pray, Lord, that you would work in our own hearts to act, to be a force of good in our relationships, and to not do it alone, but we carry along in ourselves the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same power of the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, Scripture is clear on this, that same power that had the ability to take a dead person and make them not dead rests in each one of us. And so if we have the power of that Holy Spirit, we have the power to do things in relationships, in building bridges and mending fences and forgiving and moving towards people. And so, Lord, we pray for that, that we would live, inhabit the gospel and the joy that we have in being united to you in the lives of the friends and the people around us. So, Lord, we pray for that. We pray that we would be a force of good on this campus and on the campuses that we serve, in the places that we work, where we live and we play. Lord, help us to be the best of friends. Help us to be great listeners. Help us to not be condescending or judgmental. We don't write people off. People who believe vastly, vastly different than us. People who behave vastly, vastly different. People from different cultures and backgrounds, Lord, we want to love all people no matter what. Help us, Lord, to be that kind of force of good, because that's who you are. You did not write Sosthenes off, and we do not write people off. So bless us, Lord Jesus, this week with that kind of power. We pray this in your name as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to close in our song, but before we do, I want to have a blessing, just a little announcement. So we're going to be serving, some of us are going to be serving at the Help Center. It's on 68th and O Street. It's a warehouse that's run by the People City Mission. If you ever need to volunteer, this is a great place. You could come for on a Wednesday for 2 hours if you have time. You know, but basically what we're going to do today, you can do at pretty much any time, you know, 8 to 5 during the week. If you ever want to really do something that's meaningful and positive, and you only have 2 hours, you just jump in, you do it, and then you leave. When I was there on Wednesday, I kid you not, there were over 100 people waiting in line from all different backgrounds for people. It was overwhelming to me to see the need and to see the stuff just fly off the shelf. In terms of people need, what people need most is food, which is just really remarkable. Food is what they need the most. So I want to pray for them and have our blessing, our closing song, and then we'll have lunch together. Lord, as we think about praying for the need of other people to have food, we pray your blessing over the food that we're going to eat. And we realize that it's a gift from you. Lord, help us to be generous in our resources, to care for those who have less. Help us to be people of empathy, and especially as we go to this place and realize that a lot of the stuff that many people in this community donate and they want to get it out of their basements and out of their garages, Lord, other people really need. So humble us, Lord, humble us. in the midst of what we're going to experience in the next few hours. And we pray that in a small measure, along with thousands of other people in this community, that we would be a force of blessing on the People City Mission this day. We pray this in your name, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Let's stand for our closing song.
Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.